I have the incredible honor to introduce our speaker today, and he is way more than a speaker. He is the deliverer of God's words right to our heart. So I would like you all, as he comes up, to give him the best TGPA welcome you have ever given anybody, Brother Brian Ladd.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Now sit down. It's all right. It's all right. Y'all have had plenty of exercise already this service. I'm going to send an email to all of my preacher friends. If you go to the Gathering Place Atlanta, just be prepared to preach something on the fly, because they'll preach your sermon before you ever get up. Isaiah 42 is out the window. Thank you. So what do y'all want to hear about today? But I was thinking, as we were worshiping today, of a memory that I had of being a little boy who wanted to desperately to learn to swim. This notion of getting in the water and playing, because one, it was cool, and two, the only concept of deep water that I had is if you put the water in the tub just right up to the drain, you know, that in the wall of the tub, you know, that was my idea of deep water. Until my grandfather and my dad decided that they were going to take me to collect turtle traps that they had put in 18 Mile Creek, just between Clemson and Pendleton, South Carolina. And so we got into the creek, and the creek, even for me, was like up to my waist, and of course to my dad and grandfather, knee level or whatever. But I was fearing this water, you know, because it was water all around me. And then all of a sudden, something in the water bit me. And I screamed, and my grandfather was like, "Come here, boy, and pick me up." And it was just a branch that had gotten caught. But it terrified me, because it was foreign to me. And all I wanted to do is get out of that water, even though my grandfather showed me it's just a branch, it's just a stick, it's not going to hurt you. I didn't want to be there anymore, because I was out of my element. I was afraid. I was terrified. Get me onto the dry ground now. And you know, when you are a little child, your screams can move mountains. Here I find myself at the age of 9 years old in youth camp. And it was time to go swimming. And it was in a big pool. Oh, I was nervous but excited at the same time, because the water wasn't creek brown. It was blue. And there was a diving board and steps and no sticks. Right? So I get in the water on the shallow side, and I'm playing and having fun. And there was this kid jumping off the diving board. And do any of you understand what the term full gainer means? You go to the end of the board, basically. You jump up, and, you know, if you've got a good bounce, then you're okay. And you pull your legs up over your head, right? And you do a reverse somersault, basically, and land in the water. That is a full gainer. A half gainer is if you jump up and you just, you know, go head first into the water with your legs sticking in the air. You just don't complete the full rotation, right? And so I was watching this guy by the name of David Stone, who ended up being my best friend all through high school and most of my college years. I want to do that. But I couldn't even swim. I couldn't even swim. And I was like, how do I get from here to there? Because I want to do what that guy's doing, because it looks like a lot of fun. And so what happened is, I just started understanding in this week of camp that it's okay just to play in the shallow side until I got comfortable with being in the water. Hello? Right? And then pretty soon I found myself holding my breath, going under the water and pushing off the wall, seeing if I could hold my breath all the way to the other side, because someone told me if I did this and kicked my feet, I could probably swim underwater. And I held my breath. Well, that was a novel concept to me, because I realized that if I was trying to breathe underwater, it wouldn't work out very well for me. Right? So I practiced swimming underwater until the last couple of days of camp. This guy named Tommy decided, hey, it's time for you to start swimming on top of the water and breathing and swimming at the same time. Now, he did not teach me to swim like my Uncle Roger did when I was a very little boy by throwing me into the water and saying, good luck, buddy. But he just basically held on to me while I kicked and flailed and made a big old mess in the water, splashing. But you know what? Eventually, something kicked in and I learned how to swim from here to there. And then he said, let's go out into the deep water. And I was like, no, I don't want to do it. And he said, Brian, there is no difference in the water here than the water on the other side of the rope. It's the same water. And the same principle is the same thing. And I was thinking about that this morning, how sometimes we are in the water, we are in a healthy relationship with Jesus, but we see something that we want, but we really don't know how to get there because the mechanics we've got just aren't getting us there. Does that make sense? And I want to tell you today, if you're frustrated because you can't do a full gainer or a half gainer, or you can't even bounce off the diving board, don't fret over that stuff. Because I'm going to tell you, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to get you to where the Holy Spirit wants you to go. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's plan for you is, but God does. And what God has begun in you, God is going to finish in you. So just enjoy playing in the pool for a while, because eventually, like me and Greg Louganis, you're going to end up doing the full gainer. I couldn't believe I actually did it. David Stone told me. He says, Brian, all you have to do is jump and just throw yourself back. And I was thinking, well, what about if you hit your head on the board? What if I do this? What if I do that? He says, well, okay, what if? But you'll never know if you don't do it. Don't despise the days of playing in the shallow end, because the days of the deep end are coming, and it's okay. Have you ever asked anyone, do you have any regrets? Someone asked me recently, had I any regrets? I did. The first thing that came to my mind was a conversation I had with someone years ago. This lady told me, and she used this phrase, I love Jesus, don't you? And I said, yes. She says, but there is so much more than Jesus. Don't you agree? And as an odd person and as an awkward, shy, and I know it's hard for you to believe that I'm shy, but I said, well, yes, there is a whole lot more than Jesus. And at the age of nearly 49, I can tell you right now that I don't believe there's any more than Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the full revelation of God. Jesus is God made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. You can't do much better than Jesus. And the Holy Spirit living in us is nothing but Jesus Christ himself living in us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why he said, it's better for you that I go away so that I can come not live with you, but live inside of you and be with you everywhere you go, every moment of the day. So no, there's nothing more than Jesus to me. Because it's in him that the worlds were made, and not without him was anything made. That's what the Bible says, right? So when I want to know what God expects of me, when I want to understand what it is God's trying to get through this really, really thick brain of mine or skull of mine, I sort of look at what Jesus did. And I fall in love with Jesus every time I open the Bible and read how he walked among us. And how we beheld his glory. And even today, through the scriptures, we behold his glory. And we understand that he is full of grace and truth. Now, one of the passages of scriptures that I have fallen in love with Jesus over is a scripture that just continually challenges me every time I read it. I'm going to tell you, if you're not challenged by scripture, then something is happening in you that you are calloused. Right? If you're not challenged when you read the scripture, if you're just reading the scripture and it's just the same old, then I want to encourage you to change the filter on your fountain. Okay? Because that water's not what it's supposed to be. Well, how do we do that? We do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. We do that by the renewing of our minds, and we can't do it. I'm telling you folks, there's not a 1-2-3 step. There's not an ABC plan for me to tell you how to renew your mind, but I will tell you this. It's simply through an act of surrendering to the Holy Spirit and letting Him make all things new for you. Amen? So John, the 5th chapter. I love this passage of Scripture. How many of you have like a New Revised Standard Version or an NIV or something like that? Will you open that your Bible to chapter 5 of John? I have a King James Version, and if you are holding a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, it's on page 101 in the New Testament. Story of a man that was sitting by the pool. I want to ask you, in your later translations, is there a verse number 4? You see a verse 4? Some of you may have a verse 4. Some of you may not. It goes from verse 3 straight to verse 5, doesn't it? What in the world? What kind of new insanity is this? What'd you say? Autocorrect. Well, let's talk about the story. I just wanted you to look at that for a moment. The story is that Jesus is wandering around. That's what Jesus did. He walked among us. And Jesus always had a purpose in his wandering. And this day, he was wandering around this pool by the sheep gate or the sheep market. And it was the pool of Bethesda, right? We know the story, right? And there was a man that had been laying there. How long had he been there? How long? 38 years. So he's laying there. Now, why is he laying there? Waiting to be healed. And how is he waiting to be healed? If you don't have verse 4, you may not know how he's waiting to be healed. It's a secret. If you don't know the special knock, you're not going to know what it is. And this is what is so funny to me. I believe that there are so many people in their walks with Jesus that they think there is a mystery to everything. That there is just some level of there that they can get to. And they strive and they work and they fight and they gnaw and they claw and they do everything to get there. And they can't seem to get there because somebody is withholding the secret sauce. Have you ever felt that way? Well, why can't I be like him? Why can't I be like PK? Why can't I be like Deborah Lynn? Why can't I be like that? Well, I'm going to tell you why. It's because maybe that's not God's plan for you to be like that. You are complete in Him right now. Right now, you are complete in Him. So the secret sauce in this chapter that later translations have removed because it didn't really fit in the original text that we've got. It's a tradition. There's a story. Maybe it's folklore, maybe it's not. But the story is that once a year an angel would come down to this pool and stir the water, trouble the water, and the first person in got healed. Now I'm going to tell you something. As a person that believes that Jesus Christ came to save everybody, that scripture just seems a bit unfair to me. Because what is it about? The first person in gets healed. What does that tell you? That tells you then it's got something to do with you. And I don't believe that's what the gospel is. The gospel to me is God loves everybody. God's salvation is for everybody. Whether you're the first in the water or the last in the water, salvation is free and it's all yours. Woo, I feel the Holy Spirit this morning. So here's this guy that's believing this fantasy, this story, this folklore. And he's laying there for 38 years. And we worry about 12 o'clock on Sunday. What is he waiting on? He's waiting on the water to be troubled. Now, if you look in one of those verses in the newer translations, it still mentions the water being troubled. They forgot to take that part out. The secret sauce, the piece of the recipe is right there. He's waiting 38 years. Man, that's a long wait, isn't it? No, he couldn't walk. 38 years, he's not been able to walk. So he's laying there because he knows that that's where he's going to get healing if he can get into the water first. But there was a problem, wasn't there? Can someone tell me the problem? He couldn't move. He was crippled. How long have you been there? 38 years. So what happens when the water gets troubled? Somebody else beat him to it. I love this story. So along comes Jesus. Jesus knows this guy's story because, as we talked about last night, God sees the end from the beginning. God's not limited by time. He's not limited by height, depth, or width. He understands all of that. He knows the dimensions of this man's life. And he asks a very direct question. Do you want to be better? How many of you have ever had an earache? Isn't that probably one of the worst pains ever? I mean, if it's really bad, a severe ear infection. How about a kidney stone? Anybody ever had a kidney stone? Whoo, aren't they wonderful? So I can't identify with what it's like to be immobile. I can't identify with what it's like to be crippled. But I understand what sickness and infirmity, things like that are. And if I, in my prayer life, during sicknesses, say, please, God, take this away from me, you would think if Jesus Christ himself walked up to my sickbed and said, hey, do you want to be better? The answer would be,
yes.
Thank you for that. That makes me feel so much better. But that's not what this guy said. This guy spoke from 38 years of disappointment, 38 years of experience that left him laying on that mat next to the pool. And his response was, I don't have anybody to help me in the water. Because his understanding of healing was in the water. It was about the water being troubled. It was about this thing that happened. It was about this event that happened. And he didn't realize that the great physician was standing right there. The one who created the angels, the one that created the water, the one that created the ground that the sheep gate was built on was standing right there. And when that creator said, will you be made whole? He said, I can't be made whole because I can't get in the water. Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. Your relationship with God has got to be more than a fall conference. It has to be more than a revival. It has to be more than the next big thing. It has to be more than the next great worship service. It has to be more than an angel coming down and stirring the water. Wake up! Jesus is standing right there! Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so he says, I can't get in the water. I don't have anybody to help me. And all he's doing is reaffirming the thing that has kept him on the mat. You see, in those times, the man was the guy that had to take care of his family. Women were not highly regarded in the first century Palestine. They were not highly regarded at all. And so I think it's wonderful that the very first people that proclaimed the resurrection message was women. Jesus just immediately said, we'll put a stop to that mess right now. Jesus was way ahead of us, right? Because in Christ there's neither male nor female, Jew or Greek, slave or free. We're all one in Christ. Amen? Yes. So here's this guy. I gotta get back to the story. Will you be made whole? No one will help me in the water. And so what does Jesus say? He sits down next to him and says, well, bless your heart. Yeah, he was from south of Galilee, yes. Well, bless your heart. I'm going to put that in the prayer request box at church. I'm going to put it on Facebook and see how many likes we can get. What? I'm stirring the water, brother. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't identify with him. He didn't say, oh, well, how long you been here? Or, well, how did this happen? He didn't ask anything like that because Jesus is all about business. Jesus said, pick up your bed and go home. But you don't understand. I've been here for 38 years. The water's not been troubled. I cannot be healed unless they sing that one song that I like a lot. Ooh, I just wish you could see what I'm seeing right now. I can't be healed because the water's not been troubled. Pick up your bed and go home. Now, what does the next thing say in the scripture? At once. That means immediately. On the timeline, that means there's no lapse, right? Immediately. What does the guy do? He gets up and he does what? He takes his mat and he goes home. How did that happen? Because Jesus said it. Now, I'm going to tell you, sometimes in our way of worshiping, in our way of believing, in our way of teaching, we talked about that last night. We got it all figured out, right? A, B, C, this is how you do it. 1, 2, 3, you're going to be 10. If you weren't here last night, I'm sorry. You'll have to buy the tape. I don't know. We don't do tapes anymore, do we? Tape? What's a tape? I don't know. What we're told sometime is, if you want healing, you have to do this, 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 and this. If you want to walk the way you're supposed to walk, you need to do this, 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 and this. And then we'll say, if you only believe. If you only have enough faith, then God will do. I'm telling you, folks, we don't have it figured out the way we think we do. We don't know what God is trying to do. We get a little glimpse of it every now and then, but God's trying to do something different, but we keep getting in the way because we've got it all figured out. We got a book. How do you know he didn't have faith, Brian? I'm telling you, the man didn't have faith. All the man had was his experience of being there for 38 years because when the question of healing came to the table, he didn't even have enough faith to say yes right then and there. I don't care if it was just a guy that was laying on the mat next to him. Do you want to be better? The answer is yes. But the man didn't even have enough faith to say yes. All his faith was in was his experience. So the Bible says, Jesus says, get up. The guy gets up. He really didn't have a choice. It's God. And while he was on his way home, the pastor and deacons saw him. Those religious leaders of the day, the people that had God put in a box, had God figured out, said, what are you doing carrying your mat on the Sabbath? I forgot to tell you that was a big deal. It was a Sabbath. Right? It was a Sabbath. That was part of the secret sauce. What are you doing carrying your mat on the Sabbath? You are going to bust hell wide open carrying your mat on the Sabbath. Think of how foolish does that sound? But that's what religion is. It's foolishness. And I guarantee if it were some of us, if someone had come up to us and said, what are you doing carrying your mat on the Sabbath? Oh my Lord, you're absolutely right. I'm throwing it back down on the ground and getting back on it. I gotta wait till tomorrow. There's a list. I gotta do the list. People are watching. It's unlawful for you to carry your mat. That's what religion will do to you. Religion will take the freedom that you experience in Jesus Christ and beat the living daylights out of you. And I'm telling you right now, folks, you got to let religion go. Religion is not a brand name that you wear. It's life and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what life is in Jesus Christ. It's more than a list. If we're not careful, we'll make ourselves miserable with the list. Now, I'm going to tell you how I know the man did not have faith. The guy told me at the pool to take up my bed and go home. What guy? I love the King James Version, the Shakespearean version of Scripture. It says, and he wist not who it was. That means he didn't have a clue who Jesus was. Who told you to take up your bed and walk? I don't know. I was on the ground. Now I'm up. I got a mat on my shoulder. I'm going home. I was there. Now I'm here. I don't know what kind of party I was in. I don't have a headache. I don't understand. All I know is I was down. Now I'm up. Classic moment in Scripture. How in the world did I get here? Well, you must have had faith in Jesus. No, he didn't. He didn't even know who Jesus was. Jesus doesn't need for you to believe in him. The Holy Spirit doesn't need for you to believe in what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit can absolutely do what the Holy Spirit wants to do, whether you accept it, whether you believe it or not. God is God. So if you feel like you've got to check off a list, put the list down and just open your heart and hear the words of power. Pick up your bed and go home. It was the words of Jesus that created healing. It wasn't the faith of the man. It was the power of the words of life being spoken by the Creator of life. And my friends, when Jesus speaks to you, you'll know it. It doesn't matter if you've been to the class or not, if you've been to Bible school or not, if you've ever been to church or not. It doesn't matter. When Jesus speaks to you, you will be able to stand in that power and do what you have to do. And that's go home. Go home to where you're supposed to be, because you're not called to lay by a pool waiting on an event. You're not called but to come to a worship service and wait for the blue mist. I'm glad when those things happen. I like it when it happens. It means I don't have to preach sometimes. But those things are wonderful, and I don't mean to discredit them at all. But folks, we can't live there. We're not meant to live there. We weren't created to live there. Where we were created to live is outside of those doors, where a world needs Jesus Christ. And the Jesus in me can speak to the need in you. And where you are in your life, somehow you hear the words, pick up your mat and go home. And somehow you find yourself going, how did I get here? Because Jesus said it. Because Jesus said it. I believe that faith is necessary. I do. There are so many things that faith is required, but I'm going to tell you this. It's not our faith. We can't have faith. You've heard it. We've even sung it. If faith can move mountains. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed. That's a huge seed, isn't it? It's a tiny little seed, isn't it? If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And what will happen to that mountain? It will be cast into the sea. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you spoken to a mountain and said, be cast into a sea? Stone mountain. I have faith, and in Jesus' name, head to the Atlantic. If C.S. Lewis or Tolkien was writing it, the mountain would stand up. Right? But sometimes we want to say that the gospel is literal, and then sometimes we want to say it's figurative or it's an allegory. But no, Jesus was actually saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will happen. And I think what he was trying to teach us is that we don't have that kind of faith. What does the Apostle Paul say? You are saved by grace through faith. And then he says this, and that not of yourself. It is what? The gift of God. Woo, this is good preaching right here. Even the faith that you have to be saved doesn't come from you. It comes from the Holy Spirit saying, hey, it's time. And somehow you find yourself walking to the altar with your mat, going home to where you're supposed to be. The faith that even brings you to Jesus is the faith of Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now listen to the next one. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the list, through the law, through the things I can do, the ABCs of walking Christ in Christ, the Roman road, whatever you want to call it. If righteousness comes through the things that I do, then what does Paul say? Christ died for nothing. Sometimes we wear ourselves out trying to do and be, and we're stuck on the mat, and we don't understand why we're still stuck on the mat, because we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're just waiting to jump in the water when the water stirred. The water's been stirred this whole weekend. I mean, this whole weekend, the angelic presence of the Holy Spirit has just been here. I have sensed the presence of God. We have joined those angels in the throne room singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory. We've been there this weekend. We've experienced it. Amen? Amen. But some of us still are laying on that mat waiting on something more. And I'm going to tell you, there is nothing more than Jesus Christ speaking to you, get up and go home. Go be what I've created you to be. Be that person that is confident, that is bold, that is full of joy and peace. I didn't call you to lay here. I called you to walk there. What happened in that man's life as a result of healing? It changed his whole life, but not only his life, but the lives of those around him. He told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. Right? What Jesus does in our lives changes lives beyond ours. And it really isn't about our faith, our believing. It's about getting out of the way of Jesus and just responding to the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit. Who's doing the walking if we're walking in the Spirit? Do you ever think about it that way? How do I walk in the Spirit? Well, you don't. The Spirit walks and you are in the Spirit. The Spirit is doing the work. Folks, our relationship with God is more than the stirring of the water. It's more than that, because there's going to be times when the stirring of the water is not enough. There's going to be time when you're holding the hand of a dying spouse and you don't want the stirring of the water. You want the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because you are. So Jesus is standing in our lives every day, speaking words of healing. And we say, yeah, but. Get your butt out of the way. What God is doing in our lives really is none of our business. And I know that's hard to hear sometimes. But it's my life. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You're bought with a price. You are not your own. You belong to Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ is doing in you is none of your business. But man, if you get out of the way, I'm telling you, you are going to be excited about the life you can and will have. You'll be amazed at the full gainers you can do. The backstrokes. You'll be amazed. This whole week, the Holy Spirit has been speaking these words in my spirit. Stop fighting. Stop fighting. The message through Peter last night was stop fighting. The message today is stop fighting. Put religion aside. Put your petty differences aside and let Jesus live. Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. If you pass the test, right? If you get the Bible degree. If you can quote scripture. What if there was no Bible and you were on an island and you didn't have a Bible? Would Jesus still be real in your life? Why? Because the living Word is in you. Man. We let religion hang us up sometime. I was talking to someone the other night, and sometimes we let just petty things that we major in minors. And the folks, in the scope of eternity, so many of the things that we get hung up on really don't matter. Right? Right? It's just like the instance that we were talking about last night. The Holy Ghost fell on people that, as far as I know, weren't even saved yet. Don't see anywhere in the scripture at Cornelius' house where they repented and asked Jesus into their heart. They prayed the sinner's prayer. Didn't any of that. But while the preacher was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell and filled all of them. Well, they didn't do it right. And that's what the religious folks said. They didn't do it right. They haven't even been baptized yet. And now they got the Holy Ghost. Nope, this is wrong. I want my money back. So the scripture that pastor said this morning, God is doing a new thing. We just think sometimes that the new thing is more of the old, and it isn't. A new thing is something that's not like the old thing. That's why it's new, right? I want to ask you, and I want to challenge you today. Stop fighting. Maybe you're like the man that's laying there waiting on something to trouble the water and some supernatural thing to happen. And the simple reality, the gospel is standing right next to you saying, hello. I don't know why that sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire, but maybe that's how my Holy Spirit sounds. I don't know. What can I say? But when you hear the voice, allow the faith of Jesus Christ in you to respond, yes. 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 Oh, the scripture teaches that God's word is yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Amen means let it be. I believe it. I receive it. Yes and amen. Not yeah, but. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your kindness. God bless you all. Hallelujah.